religious. Dear parishioners, it occurred to me that this is actually the first Sunday morning sermons I will be giving for the centennial year. Father Bernard was filling in for me on January 1st, and at the morning masses last Sunday, I was doing some traveling on also on mass circuit. So it's my first chance to speak to you at the two morning masses at the beginning of our centennial year. And I thought how appropriate it was that we are celebrating the Feast of the Holy Family. As we celebrate the octave of the Epiphany, we have this wonderful feast placed here to look at Jesus, Mary, and Joseph as a family. And of course, we knew they were a family, but to really reflect upon what it takes to have a happy and a holy family life. And of course, they are the perfect human family. They're the only perfect human family, because Jesus Christ is Almighty God Himself. Our Blessed Mother, a creature, is the most perfect of all of God's creatures. And Saint Joseph, the foster father of our Lord and the spouse of our Lady, is the greatest saint in heaven after our Lady. So we have perfection before our eyes. And so, how do we become happy and holy, or how do we keep working at that? Well, all we have to do is look at the model and copy it. And we see prayer, we see work, we see charity, we see courage. The virtues are modeled for us in a general way, and also in particular ways. Fathers of families, look at Saint Joseph. Even though he was inferior to our Lord and our Lady, we always say Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Nevertheless, he was in charge. And our Lady acknowledged him as the head of the family and respected his role. Jesus obeyed Saint Joseph and Our Lady. Our Lady models virtue for you as mothers. Of course, being the perpetual virgin, she models the virtues for religious sisters. And then, of course, Jesus himself models the virtues for children. And even though he was God, and from the very beginning, his human intellect had communicated to him all the knowledge that his divine, infinite wisdom and knowledge would have wanted him to have. Nevertheless, he manifested it only slowly, as though he was learning, but he really wasn't. Because he's God. From the very beginning, he knows all things. And that's why we read in today's gospel, he advanced in wisdom, age, and grace before God and men. And we need to understand that it is gradually manifesting more and more. But he knew it all along. And he obeyed. You know, our Lord didn't tell Saint Joseph and Our Lady, you know, there's a better way to do that. Because after all, I'm God. I know better. I made 100 billion galaxies. No, he allowed Our Lady to tell him what to do. Bishop Sheen says, he allowed himself to be taught how to pray by his mother, and of course by Saint Joseph. In his human nature, he was taught how to pray to the Heavenly Father. Isn't that a most amazing thought? He allowed himself to be taught, even though he already knew. If St. Joseph told him to cut a piece of wood this way, he didn't argue with him and say, no, I'd like to do it this way, I know better. No, he obeyed. So we see that perfect family in front of our eyes today, but by enlargement, let's also think of our parish as a family. And again, this is why I think it's so special this at the beginning of our centennial year to have this Feast of the Holy Family, because there are many similarities between the biological family and the parish family. We also have to strive to be holy as a group. And as a parish, we need to believe and want that every one of us will get to heaven someday, that we will be reunited in heaven as a larger traditional Catholic family. We're in this together. Families have their dynamics. We have our dynamics amongst ourselves. We get along with some more easily, others not as much. Maybe there's even tension. It can happen in families, it can happen in parishes. But again, we have to think of the greater good that we can achieve by, you know, rising above personal feelings in order to achieve a greater good. You know, families have to work together on their chores. Everybody's got to carry their load. They have to forgive one another because we sometimes hurt one another. If we have hurt somebody in the parish, let us apologize in humility and charity. We have a perfect blueprint for the family in today's epistle. And I won't read it because it's there in your missals, and I just read it to you already. But meditate on this. And not only for your family at home, but for the family of your parish. You know, there's a condensed version of this, you might say, that St. Augustine gave to us. And I'd like to talk about that again. I know I've mentioned it before. And this is what St. Augustine says our relationship should be like. He says, in things that are certain, unity. In things that are open to debate, liberty. And in all things, charity. It's more pithy and condensed in the Latin. It's in certis caritas, in dubiis libertas, and in omnibus caritas. So if it's something that the church teaches, there should be no arguing about it. Once the church is the infallible guide, and of course I'm talking about the traditional Catholic Church, not the modern church, which has lost its bearings and is changing doctrine, has changed its liturgy, changed things you can't even, and by the way, it's become very easy religion. Yes, you can eat meat on Fridays in this new religion. 1 hour fast, so-called, before the so-called communion. And many other problems, heresies even. But for us, if the church has taught it, end of discussion. It's not open to discussion. That's what unites us, the faith. But going to the second thing, in doubtful things, liberty, there are things the church has not finalized, or that can be a matter of application of policy. Here's where we have respect for each other in those matters that are not settled by the church, or if we have a particular way of doing things. You know, we're not clones. We're not expected to be clones of each other just because the church teaches the faith. Yes, we're clones, you might say, that way. We all say and believe the same things. That's what gives us unity. And believe me, there's a lot more unity of faith amongst traditional Catholics than there is in the modern church. It's cafeteria Catholicism. Oh, I believe in this, I don't believe in that. That's the problem, among many others. But the faith, we believe the same things because it comes from an infallible source. But if it's not decided by the church, not finalized, or if it's just a matter of policy or the way of doing things, respect for each other. And that leads right into the third point, in all things, charity. Charity begins at home, because that's usually where it's hardest to practice it. Charity in the home, loving one another, helping one another, bearing each other's burdens in the family at home and in the family of the parish. As you know, we're celebrating the centennial. And by the providence of God, we've been given what is now a 100-year-old building. And this grand old lady, if you want to personify, it is really showing her age. It's going to be a challenge for us to maintain it. And I'm asking you to continue your support to tithe. And it's going to be a real challenge. Just this past week, a masonry expert gave us an evaluation on our building, and fortunately the bricks are very sound. The 2.5 million bricks or so, they are very strong, but many other parts of the decorative aspect are falling apart. As a matter of fact, we're told we have to take all the crosses down. We're going to lose our crosses. Not our crosses that we're going to carry, but we're going to lose the other three crosses that are up on top because they've decayed so much, and the price of restoring them at this time, we simply don't have it. So for safety, we will have to take those crosses down, and hopefully down the road, with support and with people giving to an old building that has its great needs, we'll be able to restore those. But there are many, many needs. These windows are still looking pretty good, but if you look at them closely, there are some serious problems developing. And you know the windows. After all, 5 or 6 years of intense volunteer activity, we're not even halfway there to, you know, restoring windows. So I know it sounds discouraging, but, you know, this is when you have a four-season year, you know, extremes of 100 degrees in the summer and can get down to zero during the winter, it really takes its toll on the building. But, you know, we have to rely on divine providence. When I try to find these historical facts about Mount St. Michael, I learned things, and I learned that the $400,000 the Jesuits paid to build Mount St. Michael 100 years ago would be actually over $9 million in today's money, and they borrowed it. They had permission. Now, I know normally you're not supposed to borrow if you don't have it, and you don't want to get into debt, but sometimes when there's a need, you have to go ahead. And even when we bought Mount St. Michael and had that $1.275 million price tag the Jesuits were asking for it, we didn't have that money either. We sold off a lot of land, we worked, you know, and eventually the mortgage was burnt, even early. So right now, as we see the continued challenge, let's remember divine providence. St. Teresa says, with God and 5 cents, I can do anything. And I know we have more than 5 cents. So as we move forward, let us think of what is my part to play in helping support this? And yes, this building, as old as it is a magnificent building. It is a monument to faith. And every time people come in for a tour and come into this chapel, this is the response. Wow. Look at the beauty. Look at the size. Look at what's here. And you might want to remember the first time you walked in through those doors. And don't forget that initial impression you had. This is a great thing. We have been given a challenge. And by the grace of God, we will do it. Let's share our faith. Let's support the symbol of our faith, the solidity of our faith. Let us love one another. Let us grow in our strength and charity and help as a spiritual family. And may we all be reunited, all of us. Let's help one another to do this. May we all be reunited in heaven someday. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.